Is that good? This thing's got taller, hasn't it? Has this got taller? Or am I crazy? I might be crazy. You want me to just take that off? Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's not a bad thing because I can hide. Thank you. If I say something wrong, that might be, maybe we'll need that. We don't want to go very far.
All right. Sunday school for the kids. Got to announce it. Okay. We'll see you again.
Well, glory. It's a privilege to be speaking here this morning. I thank Pastor Jeff for allowing me his pulpit. Sounds like I'm ringing like a phone would ring. At least up here I am. I don't know. You can shut all this monitor stuff off because I can hear myself three times. I can barely listen to myself once, let alone three times. So, but it is a privilege to be here this morning before you all to be able to bring the Word. My hope is that when we get into the Word that you forget who I am and realize who Christ is, because that's really my only purpose here this morning. So with that, let's all stand up and pray. I apologize if you can't stand. Don't worry about it. Nobody will come and remove you. But let's just honor the Lord this morning. Father, we just thank you for your presence that's already here this morning. We thank you that because we're gathered in your name, Jesus, that you're walking in the midst of us, that we ask you to open up each and every heart and each and every life in this place. I ask you, Father, to meet each person where they are, that you aren't asking us to go down the road so you can meet us there, but you're meeting us right here, right now, in this moment. This is our moment, Jesus. And we thank you that even as you met the blind people, you met the woman at the well, you met all these people in their moment, and you took their lives and transformed them. You made them new, you changed them, that their lives would never be the same. Jesus, we expect nonetheless from you this morning. We expect that you'll change our life, that we'll go away from this morning just forever changed, forever changed. And I thank you that you just anoint the words, help me to get out of the way so that, Holy Spirit, you can be here this morning to minister to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can sit down and we'll get started. If you all turn right to Ephesians chapter 1, we'll have quite the long introduction and then we'll get into the Word. The introduction's over, so let's read the Word. It says, "Blessed is God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ." Let me slow down and read that again so we can get it. And as we read through this, we're going to read a bulk part of this chapter, and I would encourage you to listen to what Paul is saying to the church in Ephesus when he's writing this. I would encourage you to hear how he's explaining, because this is going to set the precedence for what I'm going to talk about this morning. If you want to put a title on it, if you're taking notes or if you're just wondering what the heck you're listening to, you can name it this. I just made this title, The Importance of Christ. So, blessed is the Lord God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in love before Him. He predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ for Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the promise of His glorious grace that He lavished on us in the Beloved One. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace that He richly poured out on us, and with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure that He purposed in Christ as a plan for the right time to bring everything together in Christ. Are you guys, there's two words that I hope that you're keying in on and we're going to continue to read. And those two words are in Christ. And if you get those two words on the front side, you can almost wrap it up and we can go on home. But I want you to hear what the writer is saying, because in this hour, in this day, in this moment, those two words are the most forgotten words on the face of this planet in the body of Christ. And we'll continue. It says, He made known to us a mystery of His will according to His good pleasure that He purposed in Christ as a plan for the right time to bring everything together in Christ, both things in heaven and things on the earth in Him. In him we also have received an inheritance. Now that in him is in Christ. Because we were predestined according to the plan of the one who works out everything in agreement with his with the purpose of his will, so that we who had already put our hope in Christ might bring praise to his glory. In him you were also sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. Now, I was going to stop there, and when I was studying, I just feel like I just want to keep reading for a little bit. Is that all right with you? Some of you, sometimes it's the only Bible we get for a week, so a little bit more is not going to hurt us. This is why, since when we heard about your faith, now this is Paul talking to the Ephesian church. You understand that all of these are letters, right? So he's writing a letter to somebody that he would commonly know, so there's casual talk in here. And this is what he's saying. He says, this is why, since I heard of your faith in Jesus and your love for all the saints, I never stop giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that your eyes of your heart would be enlightened so you may know what is the hope of his calling. Now his refers to Jesus. What is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in the saints? That's Jesus. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the mighty working of his strength. He exercised this power in Christ by raising him from the dead and seating him at the right hand in the heavens, far above every ruler, authority, and power and dominion, and every title given, not only in this age, but in the age to come. And then he goes on and talks about, I might better finish it up, right? We only got two verses. And he says, he subjected everything under his feet and appointed him as a head over everything for the church, which is his body and the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. Hallelujah. This morning I want to talk to you a little bit about our focus. Our focus is believers. Our focus is Christians. Our focus is people who profess to know God. As God was talking through Paul as he wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus, can you do me a favor real quick? Something's going on here because it's so loud behind me. It feels like I'm in a coliseum. Maybe I am in a coliseum. I don't know it. But just turn it down just a little bit. There. It makes me nervous. There. That's better. Hallelujah. I don't want to get nervous, right? So God spoke through Paul to the church of Ephesus. And he was making a point clear, because if you go on to the book of Ephesians, and most of us I'll tell you a little story. We were in our house doing a little, do you want to call it Bible study? What would we call it? A little devotion time. This has been a few months ago, and we were studying just the book of Ephesians. It doesn't make us great because we had a home Bible study of just what we were doing, right? So we started in the first chapter of Ephesians, and I realized as I was reading through and getting prepared for the study, and everybody was coming up with their take on it and being able to share. And I was reading over this chapter, and I was thinking, you know, I have two parts highlighted in this chapter. The first part is, as he predestined us as adopted sons through Jesus Christ for himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And the other one is, I pray that the eyes of your heart and be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling and so on, right? Those are the two parts of the chapter. The rest of the chapter I don't have highlighted at all, because as I've read it over, it occurred to me that many, many times as I've heard this spoke and heard it taught many places all over the world, the rest of the parts are really read fairly fast. Yet, if you continue on in the book of Ephesians, when you get to the end, he begins to talk about spiritual warfare and putting on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. And he continues to talk about how we pray for those, that he's talking about the armor of God. And then he said, talks about how we combat the devil. And he continues on with some rather challenging things that many times most of us are kind of waylaid or slowed down or pulled down a little bit trying to get through those things. And then he continues on in the rest of Ephesians and into Colossians and Philippians with transformational directives, what I would call them, his plan for transforming our lives. And how many can agree, and maybe you need to agree quietly or with your hand or however you want to do it, that when God begins to ask us to change who we are to who he wants us to be, many times he asks us to lay down things that we don't want to give up. We all agree on that? Okay, we got a few honest people, and that's good. I'll just be honest with you. There's a lot of times that when he says to me, I need you to change this because that's not acceptable to me. Those things are hard, right? We've been doing them a lot of years, and we've been acting that way for a long time, and we've been feeling that way for more than a moment. And it's challenging, isn't it? And I wanted to put this before you. I was thinking about it a few weeks ago when Pastor Jeff was speaking. How many of us, when we hear whoever's ministering up here, mostly it's Pastor Jeff that's ministering up here, and he brings the Word, and he shows us in the Word where we are and where God wants us to be, and shows us how this is what God expects for his people, and this is where we need to begin to get to. How many of you deliberately go home and decide right at that moment that you're not going to do a single thing of what you just heard? Anybody? Not many, hopefully, right? Most of us go away from church with the intention, when we walk out those doors, we're going to give it a good whirl, aren't we? We're going to give it a good shot. Otherwise, we're really just spinning our wheels, wasting our time coming here, aren't we? Because if you don't really care what it says, and you're not determined to do it anyways, then why waste the day, right? 70 degrees outside. You could plant flowers or rake the lawn at this point. Or last week, shovel snow. Amen? But most of us, I believe in here, in the sound of my voice, have it in their heart, and you determine in yourself that you're going to give it your best shot. You're going to work on it the best way you know how. You're going to work on it to try to, make the changes that need to be changed, make the commitments that need to be made. Knowing that it might not be happen all in a moment, but it may take a few moments linked together, called time, right? But many, many times we get the end of those moments, we get the end of that time, and we find ourselves sitting back in church a year later, and Pastor Jeff is prompted by the Holy Spirit to speak the exact same thing, and we hear the exact same message again, and we think, I just heard this last year, why am I hearing it again? And then it occurs to you, I gave it my best shot, but I'm in the same condition that I was last year this time. And it's funny that God would know that, amen? And so he revisits the exact same test. It's almost like, and I won't ask you to raise your hand, how many of you repeated first, second, third, fourth, fifth grade several times, right? You get as many shots as you want, right, until you get a certain age, and then they say, good luck with it all, you're on your own, right? But we know this, that God is as gracious as the public school system. He gives us many opportunities to pass the test, to go forward in the kingdom. Amen? If you go to Colossians, it talks about how God, when we follow God, we're supposed to make progress. See, many times Jesus referred to the fruit that we bear. How many of us know when we plant a tree in the ground, if we don't see fruit on it, what do we think it is? Dead. Amen? How many want to be dead? No hand raisers? That's good, right? So we all want to be alive, so we all want to produce fruit, so that would mean we all have to do what? Go forward. Amen? We all have to progress. But knowing our loving Jesus, he knows that when we don't progress or where we're held up on something, maybe there's a roadblock right here in front of us, many times he'll give us a few chances. He's not just the God of second chances, is he? Some of us need a lot, amen? If we were honest with ourselves, we need a whole truckload full of chances, right? We could even borrow the neighbor's chances too, because we really need a few, right? Amen? It's all right to be honest with yourselves, because God is waiting for you to be honest. He's waiting for you to be honest of who he is and where you are so he can get you somewhere. Amen? But we go back to the chapter in Ephesians that we were talking about and why it's so instrumental in the importance of Christ. Because God just showed us the very pipeline in this one chapter by which everything that he does in this world and in our lives takes place. You remember those two words? It's all right to say them. I'm hoping you remember them. We're only about 15 minutes into this thing. In Christ, amen? It's not through our works. It's not through our commitments. It's not through our abilities. It's not through our academics. It's not through how much we, how high on the ladder we get. There's very little besides Christ that transforms our lives, actually nothing. God chose in the beginning of time, and he said it right here, that everything was going to happen through this very manner. His Son, Jesus Christ. Why is this important in this day and hour? Why is it important to you? Well, let's go on just for a minute, right? We got just a few minutes. We aren't going to take all day. Hallelujah. I want to make this statement. Y'all, too bad we didn't have seat buckles on the seats there. Because a couple of these things I'm going to say, you may get up and try to come towards the altar not to get saved either. Get me off it. But I just want you to hear me to the end, because sometimes the way we've been living isn't the way God's desired us to be living to go forward. Amen? How many ever watch somebody get stuck in the snow or in the mud? You ever watch anybody do that? How many have ever watched somebody be stuck in the snow or the mud? We have more snow than we have mud up here, I guess. How many ever watch somebody get stuck and they just proceed to just keep their foot on the gas? And they'll put it in reverse and they'll put their foot on the gas some more. And then they'll put it in forward and they'll put their foot on the gas some more. They're not going nowhere because you're just standing there next to the car looking at them, right? And then after a while they say, I'm not putting it in reverse anymore. I'm frustrated. Enough of that. So they just continue to put their foot on the floor, thinking that they're going to go forward, spinning their wheels. Amen? How many of us know many times in our lives we do the exact same thing? We continue to do the same thing over and over and over and over. Now, I'm talking mostly about your Christian life. In our mindset, we're going somewhere because we can hear the motor running. We know that the wheels are turning. We know that there's sounds, there's people around. We think that progress is being made because everything feels right. But how many of us know, even though everything feels right, it might not be right? Amen? Because if you're not going down the highway forward and you're not going backwards, you're not going anywhere at all, are you? You're just kind of stagnant. So the first thing I want to bring to you in knowing this, that the focus, the central focus by which all of us in this place, see, I tell you the story. When you come to the altar, Pastor Jeff gets done doing a service and the lights are dim and the power of God's flowing and you can feel it on, you're sweating and crying and everything's going on, and you come to the altar and you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and you give your heart to Jesus. How many of you all know that at that point, Jesus is standing there with you and takes you at your word? But that's not the finish. That's only the beginning. Amen? That's only where we start the walk. That's not where we finish the walk. The challenge that many, many believers in this world see and continue to conduct themselves is that when we come to Christ, then he gives us this book of directions, which it is a book of directions, but many times, oh Lord, that's not good, is it? Spill water all over the carpet. That's not good. Let's put that underneath there. He gives us the book of directions, but we understand many times we take these directions and we say, okay, God, the next time you see me, I'm going to be further down the trail because I've got the instructions. How many of you believe that with all your heart? How many of you know that's not the way he intended it? That's not the way he intended it. He just said it. That's not how God designed it. If he designed it, then how could Paul say it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives within me? Why would he make that statement? If it was for you to take the Bible and continue on in God's Word, now this is the part you may throw stuff at, but hear me to the end. Because I dare not take anything away from this book we call the Bible. It is God's bit of instruction to us. But instruction for a different reason than many times we've been taught. The instruction is to know Christ. The instruction is so that we can draw closer to Jesus. The instruction in the book is going to show us the things that our lives are going to be transformed to do, but the challenge that we have to face is, if we couldn't get to heaven on our own, what makes us think we can change our life on our own? God knew that. And so we just read in the first chapter of Ephesians, let's go back and read a couple things. I knew this would happen when I was up there singing the songs there. I got at the second page of my notes, I got summation. You know what summation means? It's the end, right? It's when I'm supposed to wrap it all up. So we're already to that point, but I'm not even started yet, only just a little bit. So what that is, and I'll just give you a little bit of a hint. This is just Jesse talking for a minute. What that is when the Holy Spirit talks, many times I like to go in an order, right? And it never fails that he'll let me sit down on the couch and go in whatever order I want to go to. And it'll be a couple pages. But he'll use whatever order he wants, depending on how he wants to do it when we get out. So long story short, means nothing to the service. Just kind of a little funny note for me, I guess. But at the end of the day, let's go, and it says, the first thing that God the Father, he said, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll go back to verse 3, right? He said, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. How many of you know when he says every spiritual blessing, it leaves none out? Amen? It doesn't leave out what you need for this over here or what you might need later on. When he says he does everything, it's everything we need. Amen? But is it by you learning more about the history of the Bible? Now, hold with me. Is it by you getting more knowledge of the Old Testament? Is it by you reading this all day long? No, it's not. Because all that is knowledge. Pastor, you were a Muslim at one point. So correct me if I'm wrong. I've met Muslims, and most of them know the Bible better than I do. Because from an early age, a Muslim is taught to memorize the Bible, not read the Bible. They memorize the Quran and memorize the Bible. So they know the difference. You know that. I've traveled all over the world and I've met many. Makes me feel very bad. Because they know more about the Word from the God that I believe in than I do myself many times. But how many of us know that when it comes at the end of the day, I got a better shot at it when they stand before God and I stand before God? Because one thing they lack, they know what the Bible says, but they don't know the Jesus that it talks about. Do you see what I'm getting to this morning? See, many of us go to and fro. We run from this study to that study. And don't get me wrong, I think Bible studies are great. When somebody comes to Christ, the immediate thing that we lack in this day and this hour is a discipleship program. Because in the churches, we assume that they're going to go home, read their Bible. We give them a Bible. They're going to go home and read it. And they're going to grow and get stronger. And the next week, we'll put them on stage. And then they can sing. And then they can speak. And after a while, we'll give them their own church. And then we wonder in 6 months where it went. But we have not discipled them. Like Jesus showed us, Jesus did this thing. He spoke to crowds, but discipled groups. You understand that the masses can hear, but the few that make the commitment will become disciples by their committing, what? To be taught and trained, right? So like people like Brother Howie and Pastor Jeff and Tim and Mark and all these people, I'm running out of names that I can remember, so fill in the rest of them, right? That would teach and train, not about all the knowledge of the Bible, but about the Jesus of the Bible. See, the words of this book These words, and I'll read this because it'll be better so I won't mess it up and then have to try three or four times to tell you what I was going to write. They teach you about a few things. First, his love. Next, his character. Then his plan and the purpose that he came. See, they teach you who Jesus is. How many of you are married in here? You can raise your hands. All right? You don't have to be happy. You don't have to be sad. Just you're married, right? Right? Hopefully you're happy if you raise your hands, right? I'm happy. I raised my hand. I told my children the other day, I forget what we were doing. I told them the only regret I have about being married to my wife is that I didn't meet her 10 years earlier. We got married when we were 30, and my kids said, well, that's just dumb, Dad. I said, no, because when you're 20, you have more energy than you do when you're 30, right? You still got some energy, but not as much, right? There's a peak there. And so anyway, we'll leave that alone. So, how many of you know that when you first met your husband or wife, you did everything you could do to make them think that you were a pretty cool cat, right? Whether you're a wife or the husband, right? You did all the right stuff, wash the dishes the right time, right? You open the door, you have flowers, all 9 yards. You maybe cook some dinner if that's in your capability, right? You did all the things that you could, but one thing once you got together that you did that you probably didn't even realize that allowed you to begin to, not to say that you should back off on all those things, right? This is where the husband will get hurt later on. You may never see me again. You shouldn't back away from all those things. But how many of us know that we do, don't we? We aren't as intense because we're not trying to sell the product anymore, right? Why? Because what we do now is we allow them to get to know our character. We allow them to get to know us as a person. And then once we decide that that's the person, that's the character. I know when I met my wife, she's a pretty looking girl. But when I got to know who she really was and what her heart was and how she loved God and how she what her plans were and what her desires were, do you know that's what drew me to her? Because I got to know who she was as a person. Do you know, any marriage has highs and lows. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that ours didn't have no highs and lows. We had it all. Amen. But the one thing that I've realized over time, there's not one thing I wouldn't have done it the way we did it, because I've learned over time, she is truly my helpmate. She's the one that God put together with me, and she makes up where I fall short. And hopefully I do the same, right? We got a couple dogs too in case I mess up. So we can let them be stand-ins. But understand this. Why am I bringing this about the husband and the wife? Well, Jesus did it. But I want you to understand this. When we go to our Bible studies, when we read the Bible and we do all the studies, they have a study here in the morning on Sundays, and then they have a study on Wednesday. Bring to our own lives that the speaker or the teacher can never do for you. You must do it for yourself. At some point in your life, you have got to decide that Jesus has to be the central focus for which I'm doing those things. Because when I focus on Jesus through learning about the Bible, I'm learning why He came, why He said the things that He said, why He did the things that He did, why He went the places that He went and the manner that He went. What I begin to do is I allow myself to become more in love with that one who I call a Savior. And when I'm more in love with Him, what I do is I begin to what? I begin to open up my heart. I begin to take down the walls. Amen? And when the walls begin to come down, He can begin to now reach inside of me and tear off all those things that He doesn't like about me and put in the things that He's always desired for me to live in. Heard in church or you've been taught, and you say, man, I wish that would just work in my life. Man, I just seem like I can never, I just almost get there, and then it just seems like it goes away, and I'm always falling short. It may have nothing to do with you. It may have everything to do with the mode by which you're trying to be transformed. Because, see, you can do none of it. If you could, then Jesus didn't need to come, did He? He didn't need to come at all. God wasted His time. But He goes on and He says what? It says, He chose us to be Him in Christ before the foundation of the world. Isn't that crazy? The God of heaven. You ever think about adoption? I don't know if there's anybody adopted or who's adopted in here. But think about it just for a moment. He went and he picked you out before the beginning of time. He said, Howie, you're the guy. You're my guy. You're the one that, yeah, you're going to be my son. You're going to be my guy. Oh, Mark, you're going to be him too. You're going to be the ones that I want in my family. Before you were ever on this earth, he chose you. And you know, many of us sometimes will say we're going to be there and we're going to do this. And then something comes up or this goes on or life happens. And then we have to what? We have to go back on our decision and we never really see it through, do we? But what does God do? What did God do? He didn't just choose us, but it goes on and he said what? Then he predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ. What did he say? He said he put his money where his mouth was. He didn't just choose you. He made a way for yours and his paths to connect. For you guys to cross paths so that you could meet him. And then you would become a part of his family. And then he goes on and what? Then he says what? In him, in Jesus, then we've been redeemed. So he didn't just choose you. He didn't just cross paths with you. But he went ahead and signed all the paperwork and paid for you. So that you could come home with him. Ever adopted a puppy at the SPCA? Or a cat? Right? I adopted a cat one time. Saw him in the store at Petco. And boy, it just had my heart. You say, oh, I hate cats. I don't. I like that cat. Took it home. But you got to go through a whole bunch of paperwork. You know, it's one thing to pick the cat up and let it curl up, purr in your arms, then you pat. Oh, it's just wonderful. But it's another thing when you go in there and pay the and start signing the paperwork. And then really the kicker is when you got to pay the money. Oh, Lord, that's not free. That was a eye-opening thing, how much it costs to take these animals that are coming off the street. But you know what? We went all the way through it. God went all the way through it for you. He didn't just set it up, choose you, but he paid the money and redeemed you. Amen? But how did he do it, church? Through Christ. Through Christ. Why is that important? You say, well, I know that, Pastor Jesse. I know what you're saying, and you're not really telling me anything that I don't know. I hope not. But unfortunately, we've lasted 2 years through COVID, and there's been something that's happened different this year or these last 2 years that have never happened probably in the history of America ever before. And it's got nothing to do with who's in presidency or who's in politics or who's in the government or who's doing this or who's doing that or who's making this rule or regulation. You know, one of the greatest things that's happened in COVID, I praise God that it didn't really happen at this church because it was a man who feared God more than man. But do you know when governments and men begin to tell churches and people that they could not meet to serve their God, Jesus became silent in America. Well, you say, well, Jesus didn't become silent. Well, Jesus lives in you, and the church became silent. See, it's one thing if they tell you to wear a mask. That's a man thing, right? Jesus said obey the laws of man, didn't he? Didn't he? It's one thing if they say, well, we have this serum or whatever, like Frankenstein. That's between you and God. I'm not going to go there. That's between you and God. But there's another thing when folks tell you that you're not to meet with God. You're not to meet with one another. It's happened a few times in the Bible, hasn't it, my friends? Can you remember one? His name might be Daniel. Their names might be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But see, there's cost involved in that, isn't there? Amen? But why is the cost higher than we're willing to pay right now? Well, myself, I firmly believe because Jesus is not the central focus of us building our churches in this nation. We're building churches to have churches. We're building Bible studies to have Bible studies. But understand this, in the early church, And we'll have to go real quick. This is why I had to read that. If you go to Acts, I'm just going to, you can follow along there so you know that I don't lie, because I don't want to lie to you, right? As liars, I'll go to hell. And I intend on going to have lunch this afternoon, not hell. So in Acts chapter 2, we know what happens, right? The disciples were all in the upper room, and things begin to shake, things begin to move, and the Holy Spirit broke free from heaven, and tongues of fire came on every one of the disciples, right? And then what happened after that? At some point, they had to go outside because they were standing before the multitudes, weren't they? And so they're standing before the multitudes, and it occurs to me that whatever happened inside the church at that time must have been pretty extravagant, because all the multitudes wanted to know what was going on, right? So think about that just for a minute. If we were having church service in here and the power of God began to move in this place so much that the people all around this area begin to come out of their homes wondering, what in the world is going on? Because that's just what happened. That's what happened. They didn't go outside and have the tongues of fire. It said they were in their upper room. They were following what Jesus said. Go into the upper room and wait for the power from on high. Which, that's a sermon for a different day, right? So many of us leave before we have the power and start the work of Christ and try to embark on what God has called us to do before we ever wait on God to get the helper. I think Howie ministered that. It's been a while. I don't remember how long ago it was. It's been a while, but I was sitting right over there when you ministered about the Holy Spirit. Wonderful. Hopefully you all remembered that and listen with all intent. But understand this, when the Holy Spirit came, they were in a locked house. So whatever happened in that room, I'm not going to be here and say, well, this is what I found through all my historical studies, that this is how it happened. I'm not going to waste my time. All I know is whatever God did was so loud and rambunctious that the world around it knew what happened. And when them boys came out of the upper room, they had the opportunity right at that moment to do one of two things: to tell about their experience or to tell about Jesus. And I want to tell you, as Peter goes on, he starts in verse 14. Let's read what he said. He said, Peter stood up and raised his voice and proclaimed to them, fellow Jews and all of you residents of Jerusalem, let me explain to you this to you, and you pay attention to my words. And then he goes on and says, we're not drunk like you think we are. The Spirit of God just fell on our lives. And what does he continue with after that? Now, before I go into that, what do we do in the world today and in the church world today? What do we normally do? We begin immediately to tell about our experiences, what it's done to our lives, how it's affected us, how the power of the Holy Spirit fallen on us and all this commotion, what it did to us. We get a talk show, or we get a TV infomercial, or we get opportunities to speak all over the place because of the experience we had with God. But Peter didn't do any of that. Peter said, look, the promise of the Father just came into our lives. And do you want to know where it came from? It came from Jesus. This one that you just got done crucifying a few days ago. The one who rose from the grave, who's not in the tomb anymore. And he began to walk through time and through the Old Testament into the New Testament. And he began to tell them about who? Jesus. Why? Because that's what we're to do as ministers, right? If you go to Colossians chapter 1, it says, Paul said his whole commission was to make the word known so that Jesus could be known to the world. Do we understand that through Jesus, lives are transformed? How do I know that? Because when Peter started talking about Jesus, what happened that day? Does anybody know what happened that day? It said thousands were added to the church. Thousands came to know Jesus. Not because Peter talked about how good a speaker he was and what his plans for the future, because he had this experience with God. But the very story of a loving Jesus coming out of heaven, coming to earth, dying, being crucified, going to a tomb, and then raising from the dead, and then now makes a way for you and I to go to heaven. That very story brought thousands to the church. Why? Because the world doesn't need to know about another study or another service. I was reading on the news today, and oh Lord in heaven, we need to pray. There are so many people that are checking out early because of depression. It's not just the soldiers. The soldiers are doing it in masses, but it's not just them anymore. People just taking out guns and just shooting everybody because they just think they can't take it anymore. People just giving up on life. Dear friends, COVID came and did exactly what the devil wanted it to do. It separated humanity. It isolated us. You know what hell is like? Isolation. Why did the devil do that? Because if he can isolate you, he can destroy you. Our strength is in our togetherness. Our strength is in our bond together. Brothers and sisters, that's why he makes the comment, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Why is that? Is it so you can say you went to church today so Pastor Jeff doesn't get mad at you and get on the phone? Hey, Mark, where were you like the past 14 weeks in a row, right? I did not see you. No, it has nothing to do with that. What it has to do with is that when we come to church, this is what's supposed to happen the way God intended it. That what one person's hurting, one person's helping, one person's praying, one person's learning. What we're all doing is in unison, we're drawing close to Christ so that when Christ is lifted up, well, all men are drawn to Him, but also His power can flow in the body. In that power is a life-transforming, changing power, church. It was in the time of Peter and the apostles, and it still is now. I dare say I won't stand up here and spend an hour trying to convince you of it, because I'll give you an opportunity to meet Him and start over again in a moment. But once we meet Jesus, we have to continue with Jesus. Not continue with church. Not continue with Bible studies, not continue with your own prayer meetings. Though all of those things are good, because all of those things will teach us who Jesus is and help us to draw close to Him, but those are not the methods by which you're transformed. You understand the difference? You say, well, now you're just splitting hairs. Actually, I'm not splitting hairs. I'm splitting religion from relationship. Religion says all the works you do will change your life. Relationship in Jesus says if you'll follow Him and get to know Him, He will truly transform your life. Amen? If you go to Mark chapter 2, you don't have to go there, but I just, because I'm burning up time like it's dry paper on a fire, I guess, at this point. So, glory. Means maybe we're getting somewhere, but maybe not. Maybe we're just spinning our wheels in the snowbank. Amen? Only you'll know. So, Mark chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2, because I've got wrote down here in another thing, you know, our time in prayer is another tool by which we can know Christ so that He can transform our lives. Amen? Now the prayer, and I want to make this real clear. Now, when they come here on Tuesdays and they have prayer, they pray for the nations. I pray that you're continuing to pray for the people of Ukraine and pray against the spirit of murder and genocide that's going on in Ukraine right now. You know, we haven't seen that since Hitler was on this planet, right? You know that. That's that same spirit that's in it, that's working in Putin right now. So if you want to pray for something, there's where your prayer needs to be. You say, well, you know, that's kind of old news. It's 5 minutes from now, and I've kind of forgotten that, moved on, because we've got elections coming up. We've got this coming up. Let me help you out, church. You're here for on this earth for one purpose, and that's people. And when people are in need, then the little bat phone is ringing, right? And you should answer that. Put your bat suit on, hit your knees, and begin to pray. And begin to pray against the works of the devil, so that people might be saved. Because do you know every person that gets killed in Ukraine that does not know Christ, do you know what happens to them? They stand before God just like you and I will do. And do you know if they don't know Christ, do you know what happens to them? Well, Pastor, you can't be their judge. I don't have to be their judge. He told me in the book what happens. That's why I know Him. We don't get to go to heaven. There's no purgatory. We can't pay the money later on to get us in the gates. You get one shot at this. How many ever turns around the globe you get is all you get. And when you breathe your last breath, hopefully you've made your right choice. And if you haven't made your right choice, then things aren't going to be fair for you very well. This is why we need to pray for the people of Ukraine. Because what the devil intends to do is the same thing he does all over the planet and is all done through history, is if he can blot out people faster than God can reach them. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we talk about prayer. Prayer is a method by which we can what? We can draw close to God. It's a time of, now the prayer I'm talking about is not the time it's not necessarily when you show up here on Tuesdays and you're praying for things, but I'm talking about the type of prayer where you and God, maybe driving to your job or sitting in your couch at home when the TV's not trying to mess with your mind, and you talk to Him and then you hush up and you let Him talk to you. That's the prayer that you begin to know Jesus. How many of you know that God talks to us? For those of you who didn't raise your hand, maybe you're not listening. Don't feel offended. Just go home and listen. Because God didn't quit talking because you can't hear. It's just we can't hear, right? How many of you have ever met somebody who was hard of hearing? All kinds of hands went up. Now, are all these the people that are sitting next to you? So, you meet somebody that's hard of hearing and you say something to them, and sometimes I talk quiet. I get hollered at because I'll be talking to you and I'll start mumbling. And I'll look at somebody like, why aren't you replying to my question? And they're looking at me like, did you even give me a question? But understand this. Many times when we meet somebody that's hard of hearing, what happens? We say something and we look at them, right? And then we say it again, right? And they still can't hear us, right? Then after a while, they move real close. And then after a while, they say, I can't barely hear you, right? Let me ask you a question. Can they not hear you because you didn't say something? Or can they not hear you because they can't hear? Take that home tonight when you have time with God and you say, I have a hard time hearing Him. Maybe we need to listen better. Maybe all the noise that's going on from around us. I'll just give you a real quick key. Shut your cell phone off when you're trying to listen to God. Because the noise that's coming through your cell phone and all the people texting you, all your Facebook and all your WhatsApp. I showed my daughter WhatsApp this morning. All these things that go on, all they are, it's just noise, church. Shut your music off. Shut your TVs off. God wants to speak to His people. Why? So that He can show them who Jesus is. And the summation of all this is so that your lives can be transformed. How many of you know that if you were battling alcoholism when you came to meet Jesus, when you walk back down that aisle, you might still be battling alcoholism, but now you're battling it with Jesus. Amen? But how many of you know that in 5 years when you come back, if you're still battling alcoholism, somewhere in that 5 years, you probably let Jesus stay in the pew and you continued on it in your own. And when you come to your meetings and you say, well, you know, I keep doing this, I just keep failing. Maybe a little bit of surrender is what's in need. Maybe it's an opportunity for you to realize, how many times can I hit my head against the same wall and realize it's not going to fall down? See, that's why Jesus came. That's why He was sent to this earth, to show you that you couldn't do it on your own. To make it that simple and that plain. Why is that important? Because we have a world that is a mess, right? What other way could you describe the world around you right now except it's a mess? Some of your lives that have come in this morning are that mess. And when we come into churches and we hear all this, well, if you come to my church, we have good things and we have food and coffee at the end. Nothing wrong with food and coffee. It's good. Coffee's good. Food's good. But that's not why I want to go to church, right? Come to my church, we all love you and hug you. Come to my meeting, and we have a good in-depth study. Come to this, and we have this going on. Come to this over here, and we got a little bit of that. The one thing that I didn't hear in any of those scenarios is never one time did we go anywhere so that we could meet Jesus. See, when we begin to look into this Word, and we begin to look at the things that Paul and Peter and the apostles talked about, Very seldom do they talk about their own life experiences. Why is that? Because not one thing that they did on this earth got them any closer to God. Only Jesus did. So when people come and they ask you, and I don't know any of your backgrounds, only you and God do, and that's great. But when people come and ask you, you know, what changed in your life? We have but one simple message. Jesus. Jesus changed in my life. I met Him, and then He didn't give up on me. I met Him, and He continued to ask me to give Him this part so He could work on it. And then I got to know Him and realized He wanted this part too. Then I got to know Him and He said He wanted this part too. And you know, many times when I prayed, you all went to Mark chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. You know, it talks about Jesus raising up the paralytic man. And I'll tell you the story real quick for the lack of time. We'll be done here in about 5 minutes, right? 7, because it's almost 12 o'clock. It's dinner time. Jesus comes to the paralytic and He looks at him and He says, "Son, your sins are forgiven of you." Isn't that the craziest thing? Have you ever read that and thought about that? Let's read it real quick. We got a minute, don't we? We got 7, actually. I just said that. Go to Mark chapter 2. How many were there? It said, when He entered Capernaum again after some days, and it was reported that He was at home, so many of His people gathered together, and there was no more room, not even in the doorway, and He spoke, was speaking the word to them, and they came to Him, bringing Him a paralytic, carried by 4 of them. Since they were not able to bring Him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof, and after digging through it, they lowered the mat on which the paralytic was lying, and seeing their faith, Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven of you." Isn't that the dumbest thing? Forgive me if that offends you, but wouldn't that boggle your mind? You just worked and toiled to dig through a roof for a guy that can't walk, and you lower him down through the roof, and it's pretty much turns into a confessional moment where Jesus forgives his sins. Have you ever thought about that for a minute? Most of you will say, "Well, yeah, then he got on, he walked up." But think about this for just a minute. Did Jesus address the fact that he was a paralytic? He didn't, did he? And if you knew Jesus, you'd know why. If you really knew His heart, see, that's where studying and praying and spending time, you learn Jesus' priorities. What does Jesus normally do? He addresses the most important thing first. The most important thing was that this young man was not going to heaven because he was a sinner. He took care of him being a paralytic, but He addressed the most important thing first. Why is that important? Because many times when we pray, we get mad at God because we pray for this, we pray for that. How many of you have prayed maybe for somebody that's on their deathbed or prayed for somebody that's not doing well, and then they go on into eternity, but they go on into eternity knowing Jesus, and you think to yourself, why did God let that person die? Why did this have to happen this way? Why? And if we understood the heart of Jesus, we would understand His priorities. And in Jesus' mindset, it's better for us to what? Go into eternity in heaven, having lived on earth as a paralytic, than it is to go into eternity in hell, living on earth, being able to walk up and down the stairs freely. Amen? See, do you understand why Jesus has got to be the focus? Why is it so important that the world that you're going to see in just a 5 minutes now knows that Jesus is your central focus? Is it because that Pastor Jeff and the crew wrote Jesus Christ, period, up here? No, it's because everything God does to a life happens through that method. It happens through His Son. It happens through Him dying on a cross and rising from the grave. It happens through Him coming to live inside of a heart and taking that heart and transforming it forevermore. How simple can the message be that we give to the world? What happened in COVID? Did we hear about how great Jesus was? How Jesus could turn the world around yet still? How Jesus could take what man and the devil meant for evil and change it all? No, we did not. We did not, dear friends. And so we shouldn't go away all bummed out, per se, like we lost the football game at the end of the season and we're all seniors graduating next year, right? Instead, we might go on and say, you know what? Things weren't like they were. And I've talked to some friends wherever the world is right now with all this COVID stuff. But I've made this statement to some friends of mine out west. I believe that the church right now has a ground floor opportunity that we haven't had since the day of the upper room. We have an opportunity right now to get reinvented in the right direction, to go to a place where the church hasn't seen in hundreds of years. What do you say? Why do you say that? Because we've been working so hard building churches, building meetings, building groups, building associations, having friends, and we're a church that loves you, we're a church that does this to you, we're a church to filling seats, to filling pews, to filling everything. But yet the early church meant to fill nothing. They didn't care if they even had a job the next day. They didn't care if they even, people would put them in prison. How many times were the apostles out in the middle of the street and the religious guys would come out and say, hey, you got to quit talking like that because that doesn't follow rules and regulation. And they look at them and say, well, I can't follow you because you don't follow God and I've got to obey Him. Well, okay, we're going to put you in jail. If that's what you got to do because the angels are coming tonight. We're going to be here tomorrow. Do you see that? Do you see that? That's the message of Jesus. Why was that message so important throughout history? Because that very message was the message that God had from the beginning of time of how He was going to adopt us because He chose us and He paid for us. And not only was He going to adopt us, how many of you know when you adopt a child, that child might have come from a different family, but they come into your family, right? And they become your child. And they begin to learn the way your family works and adapts and navigate, does whatever you do as a family, right? Maybe you go to water parks every day. They all learn that kind of stuff, right? Because now they're no longer out there. They're in here. Well, that's what Jesus did. And that's what He does when He gets into a life. But the challenge, therefore, lies is when we, the ones that know Jesus, talk about everything but Jesus and spend all of our time learning everything but really knowing nothing. Don't ever let somebody that knows a lot about the Bible confuse you with somebody who's transformed by the power of Christ Jesus. The two are not necessarily the same. Don't ever let the greatest prayer person in the planet confuse you with somebody whose life is completely transformed by Jesus. They're not necessarily the same. But yet if I was to bring to you today some elegant speaker or somebody that was spoke all over the world that knew the Bible in and out, we would all be in awe because we think they must know Jesus. No, the measure of knowing Jesus is the humble, surrendered servant that lives out their days, and when asked why they're able to do what they do and be who they are and accomplish what they are to accomplish, they have but one reply, and that's Jesus Christ. Because of His power working in me, I am able to abide. I'm able to go forward and not backward. When I fall down, I'm able to get back up. I'm able to have hope. Even when I'm in a hopeless situation, I have hope. How many of you know that when people that are on the midst, just on the moment of wanting to take their own life, how many of you know they don't need another meeting that's going to help them, do they? They don't need to wait till Sunday church service. They only have but one thing that can help them, and that's the hope of the world. But that hope of the world has to be hope in us before it can be hope in the world. Your friends, that's just the beginning of the message that I have for you. Pastor Jeff, can I tell him or not? Okay, so I get to talk to you next week too. So This is part one. I call it the what. It's important to know the what we need to do before we can talk about the how we need to do it. Amen? I've been in 50 million church services. Probably not really. That's probably an exaggeration if I was honest, right? It's probably a big exaggeration. But we'll just use that so you get your attention. I've been in a lot of church services and I've heard a lot of people say, we got to do this. We got to do that. I've even spoken myself before. We got to start doing this and we got to start doing that. And we got to start doing this and that and all this other stuff. And then you meet people say, yeah, I got to start doing this again. I got to start doing that again. And the older I get, the more I realize how much wrong we are when we set out that way. No, we need to what? Stop doing as much as we're doing and let Christ do more so that we can go further than we've ever been before. Amen? Maybe you're here this morning and you've never ever given your life to Christ. Everybody bow your heads and you can close your eyes as long as you don't go to sleep if I put you in that state of mind. Maybe you've never given your life to Christ. Maybe all this I'm talking about Jesus, maybe you've never met the man. Maybe you've been to church a million times. And that might be an exaggeration for you, but maybe a few. But maybe you never, ever, ever decided that you're going to give him a shot at your life instead of you continuing to run it down into the toilet. Or maybe you're in a place in your life where you just need hope, where you're at the end of your wits, where you're one of these that you just see no hope in the next moment of time and you just as soon not be here. Maybe that's you this morning. Whatever your state may be, Jesus is here for you this morning. The hope in Jesus Christ is here for you this morning. He's here not because I'm here or Pastor Jeff's here. He's here because you're here. Because He chose you from the beginning of time. Because He made it sure that you and Him would cross paths on this very day. And He made sure that when you cross paths that He'd already picked up the tab so that you and Him could leave this place together. Maybe that's you here this morning if I give you this opportunity for you to Him to meet. Maybe for the first time. Maybe for a time again because you've forgotten who He was. If that's you this morning, just raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to do one thing. It's everybody's heads bowed and everybody's eyes closed. I want you that rose your hand, just stand up. Right where you are, just stand up. Everybody else, close your eyes and bow your heads. Like I said, I'm the boss right now. Now you that stood up, I want you to pray this prayer after me. Say, Jesus. You got to say it with your mouth. I want you all help. We'll all pray it together. How's that? Say, Jesus, thank you so much for bringing me here this morning. It's you that I've come to meet. You died for my sins. You rose again for me. You did everything on the front side, Jesus. Jesus, I need you to come live in my heart. I need you to take this life that I have and transform it to the life that you promise. Did you forget that part? Let's go. To transform it to the life that you promise. Father, I just pray for these folks that decided today to come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Jesus, I thank you so much for your love for them. Jesus, you'd come here for just one person. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you so much. You are so good to us. None of this we could do on our own, Jesus. There's none of it we could accomplish. We cannot get the hope that we need. We cannot get the health that we need, the strength that we need. We can't. This life is too complicated for us to write our own story, Jesus. Thank you so much for giving us a destiny and a purpose for writing a story that we could live out. And not just leaving us to live it out our own, but that you would take our hand and that you would walk it with us, Jesus. Jesus, I thank you so much for these people that have given their hearts to you. I thank you, Father, that your blessing is upon them. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the down payment of the resurrection promise. Holy Spirit, as you begin now to take their lives and begin to disciple them and show them who Jesus truly can be and is and desires to be in their lives. I thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you guys that stood up and hang on, no clap, no hands. Pastor Jeff will be in the back, and he has people that will get with you. You need more than just a Bible. They have Bible study on Wednesday night, and they have Bible study on Sunday morning. The only way your life will get better from this place out is for you to commit to walk that with Jesus. And that happens by showing up at those places and learning who He is as a Savior. He didn't bring you here by accident, neither one of you. You tried to get out, and He got you. You don't understand what just happened right now, right this second. But the God that created the universe just joined hands with yours. It doesn't mean your life is going to be a walk in the park when you leave this building, because it probably wasn't before you came in. But the one thing about it is you're not going to be alone now. You're going to have the Creator of the stars, the one who created the ground that you walk on, is going to be there with you. And when you need help, all you've got to do is ask Him and He's there. You say, well, I don't see Him, I don't feel Him. He's there because you asked Him to be there and He said that He would do what He said He would do. And that's make His home in your heart. Now the other side of the coin is when He makes His home in your heart, it's the same as when you move into a new house or an apartment, right? Somebody else has lived there for a while. They may have the wrong color walls, right? Maybe they have neon blue walls, or maybe they have black walls, or whatever. He may want to paint the room up a little bit. He may want to clean some things up in your life, not because He doesn't like you, but because He loves you and wants you to see a better way. And some of that stuff's going to be a little bit hard, and that's why you're going to need to come to these Bible studies so that you can glean off people who have had to make those hard decisions and those choices of what to lay down and what to give up. Not so that you can become religious and become a church person, but because then you will know who Christ is and you will experience the fullness of joy that He had hoped for. You know, the spring in your step, that type of thing. So, Pastor Jeff's right there. I'm going to let him close, or if, what do you want to do? Okay, he's doing this, so you just want to go talk to him. Let's just pray and go home. Father, we just thank you that we're going home now, and I thank you that we're not going home alone, but you're already gone before us. I thank you that your angels protect us. They lift us up in their hands as we dash our foot against a stone. I thank you, Jesus, for your protection on all these people, and that when we come back together, God will be closer to Jesus this week because we learned about Him, and more next week we're going to be even closer. Not because of me, but because of you, Jesus. That's our focus. That's our intent. And when we're asked, when we're caught on the side, on the street, and in our job, and when people ask us what's going on in our lives, Jesus, I pray that you'd burn like fire and be like coals inside of their tongue and in their heart, that you cause these people to toss and turn at night, to cause them to realize that it's all because of Jesus is why they have hope, why they have fullness of joy. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.